I love whenever you, anyone who's ever taught anything or been a teacher or done any kind of preaching at all, there's truth that stands all the time, okay? So the truth of the Word of God is true no matter what situation you're in, no matter what circumstance you're in, or no matter what is going on in your life. When God says it, it's true. And we can read the truth at times and it goes right over our heads. I talked about that. You know, and I've talked about it time and time again. How is it that the people of God can read the most incredible truths about God and how we're meant to live with one another, and it seems to make no difference at all to their lives? You know, there's times even in my own life I've gone, how do I sit under this and it not change me? I mean, we look around that all the time, and, you know, because truth is truth, but sometimes it doesn't really change us. And there's times, though, whenever God speaks and there's a word, and the Bible describes it, there's the Word of God written, and then there's a thing called the Rhema Word of God, which is the now Word of God. So it's like whenever God takes a bit of truth and he applies it to your heart. Have you ever had those moments when you read the Bible? Now, I'm assuming that you do read the Bible, okay? So there's a big assumption right there in 21st century living. Oh, yeah, amen, brother. I read it all the time. Can't even find it. Do you know... And then you read it and you go, flip me. God's speaking right to me. And you go, flipping Nora. And you kind of feel the word really hits you. Anybody? Okay, that's what the Bible describes as Rhema word. So when the Holy Spirit takes a word and applies it for now. And I said last week, I believe that the words that, you know, we're speaking over these sort of month of September in church are one of those words. I said last week that the size of the harvest that you will have will depend on the amount of seed that you sow. I talked about how that fits perfectly into grace. I said that this is a time to sow, personally and corporately. It's no longer a time for sitting back, hedging our bets, and seeing what's going to happen. It is a time to sow, a time to sow significantly, and that was easy for me to say, and to get a grasp that our future, your future, our corporate future with God, our future for your family, depends on what you're going to sow right now. I'm consistently amazed at Christian people who blame God and everybody else for the lack of fruit in their lives. And when you ask them the question, and we ask ourselves the question, well, what have you been sowing? Well, I don't really sow anything. I'm under grace. It doesn't matter what I do. God's, I'm blessed. And I can live whatever way I want because I am blessed. Wrong. And what happens when we live like that is we often chase the external environment to change. People, spouses, jobs, churches, leaders. And what I said last week in the story of Isaac was this, that what God does continually all the time is demonstrate to you that his promises are true for all times, that the places and the situations and your external world are not the final determination of what is truth in your life. The final determination of what is true is what God says. His word is true. And if we will get a godly perspective on our worlds, we get a godly perspective on where we're at today, what will happen is we will start to see fruitfulness and we'll start to see increase as we align ourselves with what the word says and not what we just happen to look at. You need his perspective. This is me kind of covering over last week. And then ask the question, are you a sower or are you an eater? Put it another way. What do you want your life and your surroundings to look like? Because whenever God puts seed in your hand, you have two choices, eat it or sow it. If you eat it, you'll be satisfied for a time, and then you'll not be satisfied. And what God is saying to us is, this needs to be a family of sowers. This needs to be a family that says, whenever we look around, and there's been barrenness, and there's been drought, and all that kind of stuff, and God said to Isaac, and he's saying to us, will you sow what I've given you? There's no point in hanging around with your fingers crossed going, God, I want to be blessed. I want to see prosperity. I want to see fullness. I want to see healing. I want to have good relationships. I want to be connected in life-giving ways. And then sitting and eating every bit of seed that God puts in your hand. You know what? If you don't sow it, it ain't going to come back. Oh, that's not grace, brother. You're preaching the law. No, I'm not. And I explained it last week. How are you going to reap a harvest if you don't sow? I said it's not anti-grace. It's because of grace. We sow because our terms of reference are we are blessed. That's what Isaac did. And that's what I talked about last week. So last week I said the size of the harvest will depend on the seed that you sow. And this week I want to say this. Never, 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 never give up. Never, ever give up. One of the most frustrating things about when you sow something is having to wait. Look, I'm the world's worst waiter, okay? When Penny and I go out to eat at a restaurant, we often will end up having discussions, Penny and I, because I don't know about you, but see this is the difference between men and women right away. Penny does the whole ambiance thing. Okay, so sitting, you know, taking 3 hours to eat a chip. She cuts chips in half. I've talked about this before. Not only does she drop her socks around the place, but she also cuts chips in half. I think we need to pray for her. Because what I do is I go, no matter where it is, I eat my dinner, and then as soon as I put the last bite into my mouth, fork and knife, right, let's go. The dinner's done. Out you go. And she's like, oh, can we not connect and chat? And I'm going, what do you want to do that for? We're here to eat. We've done the eating. Let's go. And see that then, the most frustrating, man, isn't it? The most frustrating thing is when you've finished your dinner and she's still just halfway through and you're thinking, oh, sweet mercy. This is going to take forever. What a nightmare. You see, waiting is not a good thing for me. And what I said is this last week, that I don't believe that God makes you wait forever. Remember, Psalm 35:7 says this, that God absolutely delights in the prosperity of his servants. You know, God gets a real kick when you're blessed. You know, he absolutely loves it. And what that means is that, you know, what we sometimes pass off as, you know, we're just being holy and we're waiting. Actually, I believe that when God is saying he wants us to sow now, Isaac didn't have to wait a year before he saw 100-fold blessing. God does not make you wait forever. Why? Because the word says that he actually delights in the prosperity of his servants. God loves to see you blessed. God loves to see you being a blessing. God loves to see you sowing and seeing a harvest, taking what he blesses in your life and sowing it out again so that there's a more return for you and for the kingdom. Do you know that God absolutely loves that? Now, if that is true, why would he make you wait forever? Why would he make you, oh, well, you know, the Lord's just teaching me the blessings in the desert. And I'm going through the desert right now, and it's just because, listen, there is a time for that, but understand, what I want to say this morning is this. Isaac saw his return within a year. Some of us give up after 5 minutes, and we never see a return. But I want to tell you this, that if you will not give up, do you know why you don't see fruit? Because most of the times we give up. And my word this morning is never, 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 never give up. We're going to look at the story. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Going to continue looking at Isaac. He was Abraham's son. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 26. We're going to read from 12 through 28. Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. Last week, a different version, it was he prospered, he prospered, he prospered, and he was very prosperous. The writers actually ran out of words. Oh, he's very prosperous. Just put that at the end. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now, the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you're much mightier than we. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. It's where Abraham was in Genesis chapter 20. Isaac dug up the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave him the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar, Philistines, quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Essek, because they contended with him. And then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called his name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well. And then they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So 3 wells. From there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, his advisor, and Pichol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to him, why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? They said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. There's a twofold lesson today as we look into the story of Isaac further. One is an encouragement. Never, never give up. Don't bottle it and don't look back and don't give up. We've spoken about that a lot of times. The second one is a strategy to help you be prepared for the parts of the journey whenever you're seeking out the blessing of God and sowing and opposition comes. Because that's when we tend to give up. That's when we tend to switch off, and that's when we tend to look to blame everyone else around us. You know, I often have a dream. Anyone have a recurring dream? Anyone? Well, you have that same dream, it comes over and over again. No, mine is about not being prepared for my French A-level. Now, that was quite true, that dream. And, you know, I'm just reliving reality, to be fair. But oftentimes when I am under a little bit of pressure at times, I have the same dream. And it's like I'm getting ready to go into my French A-level and I'm panicking because I'm not prepared. And you know that feeling of going, oh, no. And it's like you feel sick, your heart's pounding, all this kind of stuff, all right? And you're going, I'm not prepared. Being unprepared is a horrible thing. Now, please, if you're psychoanalyzing me going, oh, is it French A-level? And you're not prepared. Please, I've been psychoanalyzed till I'm blue in the face. The point is, I don't know why I have that dream, but the thing is, it comes to me and I feel panicked. And so the thing is, this morning, is I want to prepare us. And in this story, there's some really clear strategies for how you deal whenever things are come against you. Now, Isaac made mistakes, and he was still blessed by God because of the covenant that he was living under. The Philistines become jealous of him. An outsider, here's Isaac, an outsider in the middle of their land, in the middle of the worst famine for generations, and he is being blessed and he's being prospered. Now, let me just say something about the Philistines because we have to set them into context. They did not have a covenant with God. The Philistines, there are only about 30,000 of them through the Bible. But the point is, when you hear the word Philistine, what you understand is that they did not have a covenant. David, when he was going out to fight Goliath, actually said, who are you to defy the armies of the living God, you uncircumcised Philistine? And what he was saying is this, we are the people of God and we are blessed. You are outside of the covenant. You are not part of the blessing that came through Abraham. So what that means is this, that they didn't understand, whenever they started to get really upset with Isaac, they didn't understand that that was not the result of Isaac's own work. That was the result of the fact that he was a man blessed by God and living in a covenant of blessing that was given to his father. Do you understand that? The people who don't understand God and don't understand the way that he works, when they look at your life, what they will do is they will get confused and think it's something about you. But what we know in the story of Isaac is the return that God brought into his life was exactly down to God. It was down to God multiplying him, God blessing him, and God making him fruitful. They didn't understand that, so the focus of their ire turned onto Isaac. Religious people do that. People who have no understanding of grace and blessing and wanting to see things prospered, what will happen is they will turn their ire and their frustration and their anger onto you. Because not everyone is pleased whenever you're blessed. I don't get it. When I see blessed people, I want to be around them. I'm going, give me a wee bit of what you've got. Tell me about your journey. How does it work for you and God? The Philistines, though, didn't see that. And I want to tell you this. As we enter into this phase of sowing and believing for a hundredfold return within the next 12 months, as we sow our lives and our money and our time and our commitment into what God is doing in this family, I'm going to tell you there will be two reactions that we get from people. And it's better to be prepared so you're not standing like me outside your French A-level thinking, oh my goodness. Understand this. Some people will be encouraged and will want to be part of it. Because why? We understand it's not about us. It's about what the Lord is doing. Other people who are going to look and go, who do you think you are? They're going to chase you. And they're going to have a reaction that's not so good. They can become envious. This is what happened with the Philistines here. The people who associate with us at times and around us, they don't mind you being at the same level financially, spiritually, but when God starts to promote you, whenever God blesses you, and whenever God is taken to a new level, they're not able to handle it. Now, why is that important? If we don't understand that, what will happen is we will allow people personally and corporately and the circumstances that they create to take us right off course. I want to tell you this morning, though, be prepared and don't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't grow weary while you're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm going to talk right now about how it's easy to lose heart and why it's so important right now that we prepare ourselves and go, God, I'm going to sow because I'm blessed. I'm going to sow because I want to see a return in my life and in the life of this church. I want to see us have impact and influence. But I don't want to get tired doing it. Because God knows we can get tired doing the work of God, sowing in the kingdom and just go, gee whiz. And in Isaac's story here, he handles this brilliantly. Whenever the Philistines, what does he do? And what can you do too? Whenever the Philistines come to Isaac, and this is a lesson that I am learning. The Philistines come and they come to steal what is rightly Isaac's. Think about this. Put yourself in Isaac's place. He's his father's son. He has a covenant of blessing. God has appeared to him and said, Isaac, you're blessed. Time to sow. Isaac sees a hundredfold return. And you get these Philistines who don't understand the system coming into his life and they steal from him. But he doesn't fight. Now listen to me. Isaac never fights. He moves away with no fuss. He doesn't offer any resistance to the Philistines. And here's the thing. Isaac was actually the man in the strong position. He could have turned the whole I'm blessed card. He could have said, listen, hold on a minute, Philistines. You're starving. I'm so blessed that I actually don't even know what to do with it. But he didn't fight. He was blessed and he was prospered so much that they couldn't stand him. I've seen people who, whenever God blesses them, they use that as a basis for pushing their weight around. And they lose sight of the fact that it is God who has blessed you and it becomes about your strength. But I'm not going to talk about that today. Because Isaac is in a place again where he's super blessed, but he's in a place where he needs water. Now listen to this, it's really important. His family and his flocks and his herds need it too. Because he's been super blessed with a hundredfold return, and now opposition is coming, and it's going to steal the very thing that brings him life. Now, a well was a sign of wealth. Just let me give you some history. It was a sign of independence. People who owned wells, sold the water and they bartered, and it made them very wealthy. And you could never have flocks and herds if you didn't have wells. And here you have the source of life and the source of blessing and everything that's dear for Isaac today and for his future being stolen from him by people who just don't get it. If he didn't have wells, there would be no flocks, and his wealth was dependent on him having them. The Philistines, here's the really crazy thing about this story. Here's the Philistines stealing. I'm trying to help you to understand how amazingly narked off Isaac would have been. Number one, this is about life and death for his future. So you go, flip, that's pretty important. Number two, you have people who have no kind of view of God's covenant coming and stealing from him. And here's the thing, they were the ones who filled in the wells in the first place. It wasn't like they kept them open and used them and just stole that way. They dug the wells, filled them in with soil so that nobody could experience the blessing. It was not theirs, but now they want it back. So you have Isaac sending his men to dig up those wells, which is hard work. They were digging through limestone. These things went really, really deep. These were hard manual labor. And here you have people coming and stealing something that they had never dug in the first place. In fact, they were the ones who had closed it all up. But when they saw the blessing, they wanted it for themselves. There's a great, great life lesson right there, isn't there? But what does Isaac do? Here really starteth the lesson. Isaac calls the first well Esek. Esek in Hebrew means this, contention and strife. This is really important. He could have fought them. This was his well by right. They were the ones who filled it up. They were the ones who had done whatever they'd done. And here they are whenever Isaac is being blessed and is going to take what is rightfully his. They start to have contention and strife, Esek in Hebrew. And what did he do? And what do you need to do? Whenever you see contention or strife in your life or around your life, walk away from the source of it. If you don't walk away from contention and strife, and my God, I've got this wrong at times, but I am learning. Where there's contention and when there's strife, it doesn't matter that it's surrounding, oftentimes it's around where the blessing is. Walk away. That's what Isaac did. I'm going to tell you what was in Isaac's head because it's brilliant. He then moves on and he digs another well. Again, wells about wealth, prosperity, what is rightfully his, a place of life. And what happens where he sees strife and he sees contention, he walks. He doesn't fight them. He doesn't roll up his sleeves and go, hey boy, I'm blessed. This is mine. I'm going to stand and take what God has for me. He walks. I think, flip me, Isaac. Second one, second well, a place called Sitnah. It means enmity, ill will, and antagonism. This is pretty strong stuff. These Philistines weren't coming along going, Isaac, any chance? Now, you are super blessed, and what I would like to do is have this well, and I'm going to move you on. I mean, these people were gunning for Isaac. These were herdsmen weren't kind of softies, you know what I mean? These people worked the land. They had to eat what they killed. If they didn't kill anything, they would starve. These were hardened men. And so whenever we read strife, antagonism, now in the second place of God's blessing, what is surrounding the blessing? Well, there's enmity. It's hard to say enmity, ill will, antagonism. So imagine yourself in Isaac's position. And maybe you're here right now. These guys are having a laugh. Here he is, he's blessed, he's trying to look after his family, he's trying to open up life, channels of life. He's sowing, he's trying to dig wells to bring life to his flocks and to his generations. And time again, this is what happens. Strife, enmity, ill will, antagonism, contention comes to the place where you're trying to see the blessing of God. But what do you do when it happens? I want to encourage, there's people I know in this room who are going through situations where you're seeking out the blessing of God and you're sowing and you're wanting to see the return. And as much as you sow and as much as you're aiming towards seeing God bless you for you and your family and your friends and your church, every time you go to a place of blessing, it seems like the enemy comes and there's strife and there's contention and antagonism and ill will. And you think to yourself, how on earth am I blessed if this is what it looks like? Anybody? Does life ever look like that for you? For flip, it looks like that for me at times. And what does he do? How do you reconcile that is blessing? Because when this caused him to move hundreds of his own family and thousands of sheep and cattle out of the way. He didn't waste energy fighting them. He didn't grumble that he had done the work and that this was his father's wealth passed on to him, that others were stealing from him and he was benefiting from it, not benefiting from it. This time, what he does, after two times of being stolen and robbed from, he moves on. He persevered. Isaac never gave up. When he saw contention and he saw strife, he walked away. But he never gave up. Oftentimes, whenever we walk away, we give up. Something inside us dies a little bit. And we go, oh, flip, it's far too hard. Like, I want to be blessed, but all this stuff that comes around it, nah, it's not for me. Many of us, I believe, don't believe in breaking into a place of blessing because we don't know how to persevere. And that is, actually, here's the irony. In a time of blessing in your life, perseverance is one of the most important qualities to get you through. You ever thought about that? Oftentimes you think, when I'm blessed and I'm going through the process of seeing the blessing of God in my life, it's just like kind of you float and there's an ease and there's a rest to blessing. But it requires a man or woman to go, I'm going to persevere into this. Because whenever God is blessing, the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we don't get a strategy for that, and I'm telling you, the strategy that Isaac employed was genius. When I look back over my life, you know, there's times I think, flip, I wish I'd walked away. I wish I'd had the foresight, the maturity, the knowledge, the whatever it is, whenever I saw strife and contention, just to go, I'm not going there. It's not worth it. I'm walking away. Now, why did Isaac do it? Why did he do it? Isaac knew how to read the world around him. Oftentimes, we don't know how to read the world around us, so we fall apart and we give up. Isaac, like you, was blessed. He had promises over his life. He had seen the goodness of God 100-fold in the last 12 months. And now he finds himself in a place of persevering because the two go hand in hand. Isaac didn't hang in order to be blessed. Isaac chose to persevere because he was blessed. I think his view was this. I'm not going to struggle with you over that amount of blessing, because God has so much more for me. Do you get it? It takes a big man or a big woman to look at something which is life-giving, full of blessing, full of life, and go, you know what? If there's going to be a fight over it, I can walk away because I know that my God has so much more for me. Hard one, isn't it? But the point is, whenever you get into strife and contention, the word tells you that's where every evil work is. My goodness, I wish I'd preached this to myself 2 years ago. But I want to encourage some people here this morning, because when you start to sow and opposition comes, you need a strategy to deal with it. And it will be always be through people. It will always be through the nearest and the dearest, the people that you love, that the enemy tries to cause division and strife and contention and ill will and antagonism. But a blessed man or a blessed woman looks at that and says, God has so much more for me. God has so much more blessing that if I forgo this blessing and move on, it's because God has an incredible blessing for me. It's almost like it helps you to understand what your view of who God is. Do you think God's blessing is going to run out for you if you don't get down and fight with people or dig your heels in or claim your rights or whatever? Is there something inside you that goes, God, I mean, this is it. This is the well. If I don't have this well, I'm going to die. Isaac understood, and I want you to understand this morning, in your life, your terms of reference are so much bigger than one source of blessing. God has incredible blessing for you, but where there's strife, contention, antagonism, and ill will, do an Isaac, never give up, but walk away from it. Walk away from it. Now that might mean a physical walking away, that might be it. But oftentimes it's more in our head and our heart. To go, I'm not going to get down and dirty with you and fight over this one. What does Isaac then do? Let's look at the third well. Isaac didn't allow himself to be sidetracked by a sideshow. He had heard from God and he was going to keep moving forward. I think the people of God, and in this church, we're going to have to learn what is a very trendy business term right now. It's called resilience and perseverance. Now, does that sound like self-effort and hard work? Be honest with yourself. Whenever you go, you got to be resilient. Does everyone go, oh, I'm too tired, I'm too weary? Yeah? Yeah. Cause I feel like at times I go, oh, I just got to try harder. What it means is this. Remember I said with Isaac, what grace does is it frees you from having to do. Grace empowers you to do what God asks you to do. So if you never understood this, grace is not just everything's fine between you and God. Grace is actually your power to live. So what it means is this, right now, that sin has no power over you, over your choices, over your mind. The only power that you give sin is the one that you want to give it. But actually you're free from the power of every bit of darkness in your life. And so whenever you choose to persevere, if it's, oh, I'm going to grip my teeth, I'm going to keep going, then actually you're just under law. You need to stop and go, grace has freed me to choose to do what God says every time. I am free this morning, Andrew Tugut, to choose to do what God says every time. Because his grace has freed me, his spirit has empowered me, and I may always encounter opposition. But this morning, I am free to do what God says. It is my choice. It'd be really good, isn't it, to blame everyone still and go, I can't, it's just too hard. But whenever in Philippians 4:13 we read that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I understand again how grace empowers me. I receive every day the grace of God in my life through the Spirit of God. And because of that, I get to choose. So over my feelings, over how I see my circumstances, I get to choose to be a generous giver. I get to choose to show love and grace to my wife because she needs it. I get to choose, oh, brave man. I get to choose. So whenever I say be resilient and persevere, that's your choice. I want to say to some people as well this morning, you can't persevere today and for tomorrow if you're carrying yesterday with you. Isaac could have thought, you know what? Stuff this. I've been here twice. Every time I re-dig a well, and it wasn't like a 5-minute job, it would have taken weeks to open these things up of hard graft and labor. It wasn't just like, open that up. These people were digging for weeks and weeks on end to get these wells reopened. And he could have thought, you know what? As I move forward, stuff it. I'm not going to bother because look what's happened twice already. And I'm still in the same land where the opposition's going to come. It's not like I've moved into a different land. I'm still in the Valley of Gerar. I love Paul's encouragement to us, though. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. You therefore need to resolve that you will not give up. Isaac didn't get into the struggle. And this is my last point. He resolved to leave the past behind and said that my God and my covenant with God, your covenant through Jesus Christ this morning, is bigger, more expansive, more wonderful, more full than getting into strife and contention over places of blessing. Way, way bigger. Isaac had it. And he moves on and he perseveres and he chooses to operate in the covenant that God has put him in. Isaac, you're blessed. You're blessed because of Abraham. You're blessed and your children and your generations will be blessed. That's where Isaac is set in his reference. And he moves on one last time. What would have happened if he had just gone, ah, wick, I'm away? Well, he would have missed out on well number three. Now, this well was incredible. It's the third well, and it's called Rehoboth. This is what he calls it. Rehoboth means this, wide open spaces. Now, listen to me. If I need to pull this together. But what happens is this. God speaks to Isaac and says, Isaac, sow like mad. In a land where there is drought, sow. He sees this hundredfold blessing. Then God says to him, you know what? You know, I'll come back to that point. What happens then? God tells him to sow. He sees a hundredfold blessing. He gets into a place where he is so blessed that they throw him out. Opposition comes around him. And listen, if you're looking for wide open spaces in your life, if you're looking for that sense of rest in God and peace in God, where it's like, oh God, I'm going to see your blessing in your life. Do you know what the point is? You've got to walk past strife, contention, antagonism, and ill will every time you see it. It was only when Isaac learned to walk past the things that would rob him of his life and his joy and his peace, would get him down and dirty with the work of the enemy. When he learned to walk past it, on the third time of persevering, he comes to wide open spaces. I believe that's what God is saying to us this morning as a church. He says, I've got you in wide open spaces, a place where you can live, where your children can live, and you can start to see the blessing of God. Now, here's the incredible thing. When he gets to well number three, the Philistines leave him alone. The Philistines go, you are blessed. Why? Don't tell us. Maybe they had enough. Maybe they just didn't care anymore. Maybe they had enough. I don't know. But the point is this. When you walk away from strife and confrontation and antagonism and ill will, God will bring you to a place where you will experience wide open spaces. And there will be a time, and I'm speaking it over people's lives right now, where you will experience rest. If you're looking for rest this morning, what I want to tell you is go past the strife. Go past the antagonism. Don't get down and dirty and think, but that's my source of blessing. Because God goes, I've got so much more. I've got so much more for me. And I promise you there will be a time of rest and peace. That's what Isaac discovered. I love this. They're distractions. A strategy of the enemy to keep you from what God has for you. And the point is this, when you sow into and enter into blessing, and it might be a new phase in your life, being highly blessed does not mean that you're free from opposition. It chooses, though, because you're freed by God to go wherever I see opposition and strife and confrontation, what I will do is refuse to get down with it, but I'm going to walk past it to come into my wide open spaces. It takes a man to trust the Lord to do that. It takes a man who goes, my covenant is bigger than this. The promises that God speaks over my life, that he will bless me in my work, that he will bless me in my giving, that he will bless me in my family. It requires a big man or woman of God to go, I'm going to choose that because that's my covenant. Opposition coming, strife coming, and for a man or woman to go, no, I'm not going there. I'm walking on. I'm going to keep persevering and not let the antagonism knock me off. Learn to read your situation properly. Particularly when you're starting out, you will always attract a level of opposition. God's blessing does that. Is it personal? Well, yes and no. I used to take it all pretty personally, to be honest. Actually, it's about the enemy stealing from the kingdom of God. He doesn't want the kingdom of God established for generations to be blessed. Don't take it personally. When opposition comes your way, is it about you? Well, yes, but it's also about something much bigger. That's where many people get discouraged. When opposition comes, we see it that it's a sign that we're doing it wrong, that we're sinful, that we're no good, that we're not up for the task, that our character is in some way deficient. Maybe, though, you're just not looking at the situation, right? Understand that your enemy comes to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. But God appears to give you life and life in all of its fullness. Let me make this very last point. God reappears to Isaac in the wide open space. Isaac's then in a place where there's no Philistine opposition, where because he has this incredible covenant of God's grace and love, he is able to be in a place where his family are blessed. And here's the incredible thing. Verse 28. The Philistines. The people who were doing all the shouting and bawling and yelling and getting on. The people who opposed the blessing of God in his life. They come to him and they say something incredible. We saw clearly that the Lord is with you. So we said, there needs to be an agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well and sent you away peacefully. They're kind of telling a lie there, really, aren't they? Do anyone sense the panic? Isaac, can we do a wee deal here? No way we've always been really good to you. No way you and me are mates, Isaac. Do you see it? That's not what happened, is it? They stole from him what was rightfully his. They chased him on. You know, they were like, get out of here, Isaac. You're so blessed that you're really doing our heads in. Don't want you around me. And here, look what happens. Here's the final analysis. I'm going to speak it out over your life prophetically this morning. See the people in here who are struggling this morning? And you've been going, God, I want to be blessed, but when there's blessing, I see strife and confrontation. I don't know what to do with it. Do I get down and fight because I'm blessed? And God says, no, why don't this week you just walk past? Why don't you let your heart and your mind be so expanded about the covenant that you're under of God's grace and mercy and blessing and healing and prosperity that it causes something in you to go, I'm not going there, I'm going to walk on. And let me speak it prophetically. There are situations right now where it looks like the Philistines are chasing you and they're having their day. But the word tells me this, that when you walk past it with a big view of your God and a big view of your blessing, not only do you get to wide open spaces, but there will be a time when the people who came against you will stand before you and go, I cannot doubt that you are blessed. It might be your boss, it might be your wife, it might be your friends. I don't know who it is, but undoubtedly the men and the women of the kingdom of God who stand and go, I am blessed. I am not getting into the devil's work. I'm going to keep myself focused. I'm going to come to wide open spaces and keep sowing. Those people who opposed you at some point in your life are going to stand and go, you're blessed. Not you. God has blessed you incredibly. And it's going to cause, I'm speaking it out over people, it's going to cause some people to go, you know what, I need to deal with you. Not I need to deal with you, but, you know, no way you and me are mates. If you want to get to that stage in your life, there's going to be a time when even people who oppose you won't be able to stand against you and say anything other than you, because when they undoubtedly see the goodness and the blessing of God in your life, it will leave them into no doubt as to who you are and whose you are. But you've got to persevere. You can't give up. You cannot give up. Listen and learn from Isaac this morning. Take it as a word of God over your life today. Get a big, big vision and a big heart for the covenant of God's grace and mercy over your life. And whenever this week something comes into your life or somebody, and we all know what strife and contention is like. It's like it nips at your heels, doesn't it? Tip, 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 tip. I don't know what that is. It's strife and contention nipping at your heels. you know, it's like one of them wee annoying dogs. Ben wants a chihuahua. Oh, sweet mercy. It's like a rat. I said, Ben, if we ever get one of those, I'm going to drop kick it over the back fence. Never any animal rights activists, really sorry about that. But that's what I'm going to do. I just might as well be honest about it. And but you know those wee whiny yappy dogs that do your bapping? Why did God make them? I have no idea. I was a Friday afternoon dog. That's why I think about it. Oh, well, do rightly. And but the point is, chihuahua. Like, seriously, can you imagine me walking a chihuahua? See, it's not about Ben and his dog. It's about the fact that, you know the way kids say, oh, Daddy, I'll look after it. And you know, fine rightly, you're going to clean after it. Walk it and all the rest. Imagine me walking down the Belmont Road with a chihuahua. Slip in, Nora. Anyway, so the point is, but those wee annoying dogs, right, that come at you and they're nipping at you. And it might be a place of your blessing. It might be your work. It might be your family. It might be your ministry, whatever it happens to be. Strife and contention, when there's that, the pride, there's every evil work. That's what the Lord says in the book of Proverbs and Psalms. So walk away. Keep going, but walk past it. And I promise you this. Like Isaac, for this church and for your life, there will be wide open spaces of blessing and rest and peace, because that's the covenant that we have. Amen.